I knew the pastor would be gone. And then I found out Brother Snow wasn't going to be here. And then I found out the song leader wasn't going to be here. And then I saw that Chris isn't here. And who's going to be left? You folks. And I tell you, we've just enjoyed being here today. It's been, where'd Brother Dayton go? Well done on the song leading. And I never heard that song before. But it was an encouragement to me. And the choir, you folks in the choir did such a good job, a smaller number. It's just good to be in God's house today. Amen? I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Your pastor told me, Brother Tim told me that he preached Friday night, preached last night, preaching this morning. I think he's going to preach again tonight. So they're using him in a Bible conference and Friend Day, and what a blessing. I agree about sending a card. Let your pastor, in whatever way you can, card, phone call, whatever, but in whatever way you can, let your pastor know that you appreciate him, that you love him, that you thank God for him. I brag about him. I'm serious. I tell people different places that I go about Brother Tim and his a number of things about him, but especially his preaching. And I've only got to hear him preach a couple of times, but what a blessing he is. In 1875, the blind songwriter Fanny Crosby wrote the words for a new song. Ira Sankey was the song leader for D.L. Moody, and they preached around the world, did a lot of preaching. Dr. D.L. Moody did in England, and Ira Sankey would lead the singing for him. They sang that song a number of times, but it just didn't catch like other songs had. They didn't put it in their songbook that they used for their crusades. In 1952, Cliff Barrows, who was with the Billy Graham Crusades, 1952, was over in Europe, and he heard them sing this song. And came back home, and they were preparing a songbook for their crusades. And so they put this song in their songbook in 1954, and they were singing it in the crusades, and people just took to it so much. You probably think it's been with us forever, but it's relatively a new song to us in our American hymn books and songbooks. But 1954, they would sing this song in the Crusades, and it just was so well received. By the time they would come to the end of the Crusade, they'd be singing it every night. Turn in your Bibles, if you haven't, to 2 Kings chapter 5. You ever have those of you folks that are as old as me, do you ever have a senior moment? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. That's the song. Great things He hath done. Let's pray. Father, help me this morning to share your word as you would have me to share it, to emphasize what needs to be emphasized, to detail what needs to be detailed. But I pray, God, that you will be glorified right here in this church. Speak to us, God. Remind us of how good you've been to us. Remind us, God, of all the great things that you've done for us. Thank you for that hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote. Thank you, God, that It's being sung now all around the world. What a hymn of praise. You're wonderful, and we love you. Thank you for loving us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we study the book of 2 Kings, we find God telling us about the kings of Israel. Originally it was Israel, and then it was divided, northern kingdom and southern kingdom, and the northern kingdom was called Israel, kept the name Israel, with 10 of the 12 tribes. The southern kingdom became known as Judah. Judah was one of the two tribes in the southern kingdom. And when we read 1 and 2 Kings, we pick up in 1 Kings with King David, and we continue on reading about these kings of the northern kingdom as it was divided. Saul, then David, and then Solomon, and then the northern kingdom with their kings, and the southern kingdom with their kings. Northern kingdom had 19 kings. Southern kingdom had 19 kings. Northern kingdom never had a good king. Never had a good king. They were all wicked. They were ungodly. They were idolaters. And they led the northern kingdom in the wrong way. Southern kingdom had a number of bad kings, but they had some good kings. You think of Hezekiah. I mean, God speaks highly about Hezekiah. You think about Josiah and how God worked in his life at a young age and all the way. And they were great, great kings. We also read in 1 and 2 Kings not only about the kings, but we read about the prophets, those that were spokesmen for God, those that would deliver messages. For instance, Isaiah came and brought the message to Hezekiah and told him, you're going to die. You're going to die. And he left after giving the message. And Hezekiah went to God in prayer. And as he went to God in prayer, he asked God to let him live and reminded God of how he had lived for him. And God spoke to Isaiah, and Isaiah, before he even was gone away from the place, came back and told Hezekiah, God's going to give you 15 more years. That's what the prophets would do. They would deliver messages from God to the kings who were leading the kingdoms and in other situations. In this particular story that we're going to read, 15 verses here in 2 Kings chapter 5, in this particular story, we read about the prophet Elisha. We're going to read about the king of Syria, and we're going to read about the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Obviously a wicked king, because they never had a godly king. But follow with me in verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 15. I'll move along quickly if you'll listen quickly, all right? Verse 1, now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, and that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. I want to read to you the statement there in verse 15. Naaman says, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Amen? I hope you know that today. There's only one God, one true and living God, and his name is Jehovah. He has a son, and I make this statement because some people want to compare our God to their God and say they're the same God, and they're not the same God. Our God, Jehovah, has a son, and his name is Jesus. He himself is God, and he's the Savior of the world. In this passage, we read about 10 different characters. You can identify them. There was Naaman, a little maid, Naaman's wife, someone identified simply as one, king of Syria, king of Israel, Elisha, Naaman's servants, Naaman's company, and then Jehovah. It's all about Jehovah. And as we come to the conclusion this morning, you'll see Jehovah so clearly. You know, God has us here for a purpose. Praise the Lord. We want to see people get saved. But we are here to make known this one true and living God and his Son, Jesus. And we're going to see him being made known right here in this passage. I want to center in on 4 of the 10. We don't have time to see all of them, but 4 of the 10. And I want you to see how that God uses this situation to bring glory to himself. Number one, I want you to see with me this morning, in verse 9 there, I want you to see the prophet Elisha. Elisha was a student of Elijah. He was a follower of Elijah. He was the successor of Elijah. And we read about him right here in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha's the one that got a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. Elisha's the one that divided the Jordan just like Elijah had divided. He's the one that used salt to heal the water of Jericho. He's the one that saved a widow and her sons with a pot of oil. He's the one that gave the Shunammite woman a son. And when the son died, Elisha raised him from the dead. It's made very clear in this passage, in these 15 verses, that Elisha, the prophet, Elisha was a man of God with the power of God and with the wisdom of God. Three times in this passage, he's referred to simply as the man of God, the man of God, the man of God. So as we look into this story, the first one we call attention to is the prophet Elisha. But then I want you to see with me number two, the God Jehovah. Now when we read our Bibles, we read about other gods. Philistines had all kinds of gods. Other nations, Syria, the nation here, they had various gods. But there's only one, I say it again, true and living God. Other gods are false gods. They are gods that came out of someone's mind. Somebody came up with something. Somebody identified somebody else as God. It all comes from man, but they're not true and living gods. There's only one true and living God. He's revealed to us in the Bible. The God Jehovah. Look with me in verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God. Naaman knew about Jehovah, but he's going to come to see and know Jehovah in a way that he's never known. I'm not even saying that Naaman was a saved man, but I know the conclusion that he came to after we see this story and what took place. Again, verse 11. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. When we look at God in the Old Testament, we find God creating things, we find God revealing himself, and we find God preparing the way for the Messiah. Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, many, 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 many things are given to us. But there are three primary things. We find God, number one, in the creation. Just go home this afternoon, get your Bible out, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, just read it. Day after day after day after day, what God did. God in the beginning, God created. So we find God in creation. We find God in Revelation. Again, as I study the Old Testament specifically, New Testament as well, but Old Testament, God is revealing himself to the world that he's created. He will use Israel. He'll bring forth a nation called Israel, Abraham and the descendants. He'll bring forth a nation and he'll reveal himself to them. Then he'll reveal himself through them to others that are in the world. The third thing that we find God doing, God Jehovah doing in the Old Testament, is he's preparing the way for the Messiah. He's using the prophets. He will share things with them. They will speak things. They'll write down things about this one who is coming, the Messiah. The New Testament calls him the Christ. We know him as Jesus, the Son of God. So God, as we study the Old Testament, God reveals himself in creation. He reveals himself in Revelation. And he reveals himself as he's preparing. And all of this is done in such a way to bring glory to God. Now, hold your place and go back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 7. Exodus, chapter 7. And I want you to see in these passages that we look at very quickly, God wanted to make himself known. That hasn't changed. God wants to make himself, he wants to use individuals as Christians. He saves them. He wants to use churches. He wants to make himself known to others. Now, look with me here in chapter 7 and verse 17 of Exodus. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Lord there is capitalized, and Lord there refers to God, Jehovah. He's talking about himself, and he's giving his name, Jehovah. Now, keep that in mind as he's revealing himself, but go over a few pages to chapter 14, and look with me at verse 4, chapter 14 and verse 4. He's revealing himself back in chapter 7. He's revealing himself to Moses and to Aaron. But look at chapter 14 and verse 4. And I will harden the Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. God is working there, and he's making himself known to an idolatrous nation, to an idolatrous leader, the Pharaoh, there in the Old Testament. All right, go with me a few pages more over to chapter 29 in Exodus, chapter 29, and look with me at verse 46. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. God wants himself to be known, and he tells us that as he's speaking to Moses, as he's speaking for the Egyptians, as he's speaking for the Israelites. But let me give you one more. Turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel chapter 6. And here, God reveals himself in such a way. Daniel in the lion's den, and God protected him and brought him through the night. Look at verse 25 in Daniel 6. Daniel's there with the Persians. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, as God has spared Daniel in the lion's den. This is the response of this foreign king. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now understand, he's ruling the world at this time. His nation has become a powerful nation. They've conquered nation after nation. He's ruling the world at this time. And so now he's seen God work in and through Daniel. And his response is, he writes to all the nations, to all the languages of the world. Now listen to what he says. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Here's this king who's ruling the world, and as he observes God working in and through Daniel, he then writes to the rest of the world. Wouldn't it be something if somebody could have an influence like that on our president? He wrote to all the world, and he says, the God of Daniel is the living God. Amen? To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So we're seeing the prophet Elisha in our story. We're seeing the God Jehovah in our story. And then you can't miss the captain Naaman in our story. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Tells us a number of things about Naaman, captain of the military of Syria, the nation to the north of Israel. He was honorable. He was a mighty man of valor. He was a leper. But there's more to it. Look down at verse 11, and we're going to see in verse 11 and going down, he was wroth. He becomes angry. He becomes angry. He went away in a rage in verse 12. He was proud. But he became humble. You can't be proud and be humble at the same time. You can be proud and become humble. You can be humble and become proud, but you can't be proud and humble at the same time. But we see that in this captain in Naaman. Look with me at verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much more, how much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and clean. Then went he down. You see, he was proud, but because he's going to humble himself. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. He knew of gods. He even knew some little about Elisha's God, Jehovah, but he saw the reality of Elisha's God. And he came to a conclusion. He makes a declaration and he gives God the glory. Behold, now I know, if there was ever a question, he knows now. There are no doubts. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Have you got that settled? There is no other God. False gods, many, that people have made up. But one true and living God, his name is Jehovah. He gave us this book so that we might know him. We might come to the same conclusion that Naaman came to, the same conclusion that the king of Persia came to when he saw Daniel. God wants us to recognize him for who he is, for what he does, and he wants us to praise him, to give him honor, to make him known to others. Well, the prophet Elisha, the God Jehovah, the captain Naaman, but don't forget the little maid. The little maid in verses 2 and 3. Follow with me. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, Now, just keep in mind the situation. I can't tell you how old she was, but she was a young maid. She's taken to a different land. She's not home where her God is God. She's in a foreign land. And she's a servant to Naaman's wife. But look at verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." She was a captive. She was a slave. But more than that, she was a voice for God. Little girl, but a voice for God. Without this little maid saying what she said, the general would never have done what he did. The general would never have said what he said. Folks, it makes no difference what our backgrounds are. They're all different. We all had different upbringings, maybe some similarities. We have different jobs. Our families are different. We're from different places. But when God gets into our life, He wants to use us, no matter what our situation. He wants to use our voice to simply tell somebody, well, here she's telling about the prophet, but the prophet was a prophet of God. He was the man of God, the man of God, the man of God, it says. And God used him, God gave him the power, and he brought the healing. This man is now praising the true and the living God. And God wants to use us. I just want to encourage you this morning. God wants to use us. We're living in wicked days. I mean, they're getting worse, and I don't think they're going to get any better. We're living in, things are a lot worse than I ever realized. When I see what's being taught in colleges, when I see what they're doing in primary schools, when I see what they're wanting to do in hospitals with children, I mean, I can't believe these kind of things are going on. But it can get worse. Read your Bible and read about things God warns against. He wouldn't have warned against them if they're not going to happen. Maybe you get an idea of what I'm talking about. We're living in wicked days. But in these wicked days, they're rejecting God, rejecting God, rejecting God. Don't want to hear about God. But God has us here. He saved us for a purpose. He wants to use us to be a voice for Him. We need to tell people. And every opportunity we get, we need to tell people about our God and about His Son and about His Word, you and I. God wants to use us to bring glory to Him. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. You know that song. Most of you do, I'm sure. Listen to the words. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Now we could stop right there. If you'll come back tonight, I'll share with you God's Word and this very thing happening. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Yielded His life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. You know, people would write, Fanny Crosby, she wrote the verse. And then you have the chorus, and the chorus is a response to the verse. She tells us a truth in verse 1, and then she gives us the chorus, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. She gives us a truth in verse 2, and then we get down to the chorus, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. She gives us a truth in verse 3, great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father. through Jesus the Son and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, God saved me. I could give you my testimony, but I've given it to you before. God saved me. Just as a boy, God saved me. Did He save you? We ought never get over that. To God be the glory. He saved me. Did He save you? To God be the glory. We ought to be a voice. Nobody's ever done for me what God did for me when He sent His Son. Nobody's ever done for me what Jesus did for me when He hung on Calvary's cross. God sent His Son. His Son died and paid for my sins, paid for the sins of the whole world. And then says, whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. God raised Him from the dead. He paid my sin debt. And then He gave me hope that even though I die, I'm going to be raised from the dead and be with Him. Do you know my Jesus? I'm asking you this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you received Him as your Savior? We're going to sing, Brother Damon. Let's sing to 457. Let's sing this morning. We'll sing all three verses. We'll pray.